broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Continue now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it, already March 25th in the year of our Lord, 2022? Incredible. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property. This is our two of two, and our goal is to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled Friday, and we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. And we've got all kinds of incredible tidbits for you this hour, to say the least. It is Friday, second hour. That means Dr. Scott Bradley in the house. And the good doctor has put together an incredible collegiate series called To Preserve the Nation. Incredible for homeschoolers and anybody who wants to get educated on the supreme law of the land. It's called To Preserve the Nation. Not only is that his collegiate series, but it's his lifelong goal. He's got a website for you to learn about that, as well as be involved in his weekly webinars and a whole lot more at freedomsrisingsun.com. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It would seem, at least in my neck of the woods, that spring has arrived. It's quite pleasant today. And perhaps there is hope that after a long, hard winter, we're going to see some pleasant weather. So I hope everybody all across the country that might be listening is finding a similar kind of hope.
Roger that. I want to talk about nutrition today a little bit. I want to talk about food. Joseph Mercola, well-known doctor, wrote an article that I found fascinating. And I know you're into nutrition as well, Dr. Bradley, and into taking care of yourself. And, you know, the standard American diet, or SAD is what they call it, really kind of highlights where Americans have been for the longest time. And that's why we've got a lot of the problems that we have. We've got comorbidities left and right. We've got all these issues. But here's the headline from Joseph Mercola, well-known doctor. He says, the worst foods that make you more hungry. He says, a struggle with weight gain and obesity is a common and costly health issue, leading to increased risk for heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and the like, just to name a few. And he goes on and talks about, you know, a lot of these individuals have substantially higher medical events and expenses with lost productivity, with all kinds of problems. He talks about they're not able to serve in the military. They're not able to do a lot of things. According to the 2019, what do they call this thing? State of Obesity Report, ladies and gentlemen. 18.5% of American children are obese. That's ages literally 2 to 19. 39.6% of adults are now obese. Dr. Bradley, let's start there, sir.
Well, I'm quite confident. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but the complexities of a lot of things seem to be in some ways overlooked or simplified or something as they're brought forth, kind of like, you know, the Ukrainian-Russian issue that seems to be far less explained than it should be before we kind of take the path we do. I think that our dietary problems have been a long time coming. I think that we have taken a path in this nation that has gone for, you know, the way that, for, I mean, just start from the very beginning of every food source. They just put a like four things in the ground to help things grow fast and look green and look good, but there's no restoration of the minerals that are depleted from the soil, for example, in most instances. You look at how they harvest much or even prepare the ground. With corn, everything seems to be now, almost everything, where they spray a Roundup type agency on the ground to keep the weeds down. The corn takes it up. It becomes part of its genetic DNA, and we are ingesting this poison that keeps green plants gone. They say, oh, well, just don't worry about it. It doesn't affect humans. You know, they used to say in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam conflict that Agent Orange, oh, it doesn't hurt humans. It's, you know, but my thought always was, well, look, if it kills 200-foot-tall trees, it can't be all that good for people. And what we're finding over the long term, I know, safe and effective. I know we keep hearing that. That was the early version of safe and effective back in the 70s. And what we're finding now is many of my friends have become extremely sick and died because of it. And so we have these kinds of things. We look at the way that we harvest wheat, for example. And it isn't 100% across all the wheat, but there's much of it is harvested. It gets to a certain point, and they want to hurry up the harvest practice, and so they do an overspray of this Roundup type to spray that kills it all at once and dries it out, and then they harvest it. Well, what the heck? It's now got it on the grains. And they harvest them, bring them in, and then they feed them to people. And I can't help but wonder if many of the people that are told they're gluten intolerant because they ate wheat and their gut bothered them, that they, well, could it be that it's not the wheat itself? It might be a genetically modified wheat, which is how we've gone from all the early 70s and 50s and 60s and earlier than that, when we had the amber waves of grain that were 4 or 5 feet tall, and now they're little stubby grains that they've genetically modified them to with a different nutritional component. I just can't help it. It's not that. And then I think about the professorial approach to things in universities. I had a child many years ago that was in a nutrition and food science class, and they said that the most nutritious single substance of food that was out there was Applejack cereal. And my son said, I'm done. We're done here. If these people are no smarter than that. But they say, no, it's got grains in it. It's got sugars. It's got fruit in it. I mean, how can you go wrong with this? Well, it's all chemically modified and you know, sprayed down to keep the bugs out and everything. It's just the way nutrition and food sciences looks at things now is from a perspective of high rates of production and low spoilage rates and so on, when the nutritional value may not be there. So we have a whole raft of things that, in my opinion, are contributing to the dietary deficiencies of Americans and leading to these challenges. And you look at the modified wheat, I think that part of that is what's contributing to the obesity problem, as is the genetically modified types of foods that are now, I mean, we have tomatoes that taste like fish, and because they've modified them differently to get the production things that make their marketing more easy. I mean, the color, the shape, the texture, all those things, when we're completely eliminating a thought process about nutritional value. So all of these things contribute, and I think it's kind of a tragic travesty that we've accepted at face value. Our family tries to eat without genetically modified foods and grown in the more natural ways. And so we try hard to make our selections of purchases in that manner. But a great, great, great many Americans don't even give it any consideration whatsoever. I think one other thing I ought to mention, and I throw it back to you because I've talked way too long. But it has
no, you're doing fine, Dr. Bradley. I think that you're exactly right. So Joseph Mercola literally says, hey, the worst foods that make you more hungry. And he talks about a struggle with weight gain. He talks about how costly it really is individually and for families and on the healthcare system. He talks about how there's all kinds of realities that affect this. But, yay, you know what? More and more and more people are not just overweight, but they're becoming obese. And he talks about junk food addiction is real. And he talks about what it takes for junk food to literally become an addiction. And he talks about these different oils that have become the problem. Primarily soybean oil is one of the biggest problems. And when you mix oils with the wrong kind of fats with sugar, then it literally messes with your brain, ladies and gentlemen. It literally makes it impossible for your brain to regulate your intake of food. It's an intentional trifecta disruptor, if you will. And they say, hey, potato chips are one of the most addictive food on the market because they have all three of these. They have these fats. They have this iodine-filled salt. They have these oils. They have, and so they become one of the most addictive foods on the market. Believe it or not, research published in 2007, Dr. Bradley, showed that 94% of rats, listen, allowed to choose between sugar, water, and cocaine, chose sugar. Even cocaine-addicted rats chose sugar once they got the opportunity. In other words, even over cocaine, the rats would choose sugar. So sugar and these incredible fats that your body cannot digest or deal with properly, mixed with the right amounts of sodium, are what literally is intentionally generating this obese reality and making it literally impossible for Americans to regulate their intake of food. Junk food interfere with appetite control and literally deceive and rot your brain. We'll talk about it with Dr.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Dr. Bradley, when people are low in potassium, high in sodium, they're finding that that leads to great depression. This is all brought on by junk food. Depression is literally a junk food state of mind. These junk foods literally manipulate your brain and make it impossible for you to have appetite control. I believe it's all done intentional, doctor.
Well, it's probably very likely it is done. I mean, there's so many avenues and so many strings you put out there to pull on. Let's look at the fluoride world, and it's hardening of the pineal gland and making individuals more compliant and less active and so on. Fluoride has been an obsession of so many that are into, you know, government-mandated medications for so many decades. You look at, the soy issue. Our family will not ingest soy at all They say, well, they do it in Asia, but they're in so much smaller amounts than what is included in a lot of American diets. But there's another thing or two, well, a lot of things, I guess. We can look at the environmental pollution that's going on with some of the toxicity. It's not just the poisons that are in the air. It's not just the stuff we're spraying on the ground and on the bugs and everything else like that. It's also electronic and the frequencies that are out there. But there's also other things. The era I grew up, you know, everybody, we didn't have a TV set when I was little. I mean, of course, you might say that's a poverty issue. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, we outside, go outside, play, you know, roller skate. They didn't have rollerblades when I was little, but roller skate, ride a bicycle, go play stickball, go play some sandlot baseball, go hiking, go someplace and experiment and experience life. And one of my friends was telling me one time, he was from a very kid-friendly neighborhood in Southern California back in the 50s, and he talked about how it was just a plethora of activities constantly outside. And he went back, and his mother was quite aged, and in the old homestead, you know, and the streets were barren. No one was out. And he says, Mom, what happened? And she said, come in the house and look. And she pointed at the TV set and said, once those things arrived, everybody just kind of, you know, hands off, stand down, let's go in and watch. And it's even worse nowadays with computer games and you keep them around in your hand and you sit in any place to sit and play card games, whatever. I mean, there has just been a whole mindset change with what America used to be. And you say, oh, yeah, but we have soccer teams and we can do things that are organized sports. Organized sports, who the heck cares? Let the kids go make their own games. The fact that you can't play a game unless you have paid to put a uniform on and rented a field and have everybody there, rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, whatever. I mean, we'd go out and hit a ball around anytime we wanted and make up our own, you know, how it conforms to whatever environment we were in. It was just a different world. And nowadays we have abandoned so much that made life worth living, in my opinion. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things that have contributed. And I think we oversimplify it if we think it's just sugar. Absolutely. I believe sugar has become probably the mainstay of most Americans' diets. And in fact, I think about when I was hospitalized and everything was done intravenously, and I was cogent enough at some point to be able to talk about what was being put in my body. And I finally said to the nutritionist, why don't you give me just a bowl of white sugar and a spoon and tell me to eat it? Because it was so sugar-based. I mean, it was absolutely absurd. I said, there's no nutrition in there. All you're doing is trying to put fuel on a fire that is disrupting everything. And it's not just nutrition, but I'm firmly of the opinion that any residual challenges that I face are all medically induced. And I think that we just have a bunch of intellectual pygmies running things. And it isn't just politicians. It isn't just physicians. It isn't just entertainment people. I mean, it seems to be that we've got a national deficit of thinking people. And it may in part be that we've reduced our oxygen intake for so long now that our brain cells are deficient and we're not firing on all the cylinders, as we might say in the old days with a car. So, no, I think that it's a multitude of things, and some things are purposely being done for profit margins. Some are done, I think, for perhaps even population control or keeping people compliant and complacent. Entertainment industry, it's just a whole plethora of things. I don't think you can put your finger out and say, oh, this one thing does it. It may be a big contributor, but I don't think it's everything.
Dr. Bradley, I think this is a critical issue because, you know, there's a war on in America, and it's some people call it the culture war. Some people call it the battle between Jesus Christ and Satan. which I believe that's what it is. But the war is over.
Everything comes to that. Yeah, it boils down to that one thing.
All right, and whether it's a war for your heart, a war for your mind, a war for your agency, there's so many aspects to this war that I think are critical of discussion. And I believe they're literally attacking us nutritionally to make sure that we're not healthy enough to focus on the things that matter most. You see, when you deny our relationship with God, you do that by mocking religion and denigrating religion and etc. And the failures of the religious leaders certainly do not help. They just add fuel to that fire. But when you divorce people from God, intentionally so, over decades and decades and decades of government policy, in other words, a.k.a. don't pray in schools, don't put the Ten Commandments up in schools, because if people see them, they might actually think about them. And if they think about them, they might actually obey them, and that would be bad. So jettison prayer, jettison the Ten Commandments, jettison then family. So create distance in the family, create a breach between children and their parents, do so with the rock and roll culture and the, you know, everybody wants to be a rock star and everybody wants to be famous and everybody wants to be rich and, you know, do that by magazines and now websites and social media channels that literally pit parents against children, and parents are clueless and children know, pay attention to your peers and pay attention to the, you know, the fashion industry, et cetera, et cetera. So they literally divorce us from God. They divorce families from one another. If the parents don't get a divorce, certainly the children and parents are divorced. Parents are painted as buffoons and, you know, et cetera. So you attack God, then the family, and then our country. And you literally destroy our knowledge of history and our desire to understand our godly heritage and the heritage of our founding fathers. So our countrymen's heritage. You can eventually attack the agency of individuals by deceiving them into believing that, hey, others know more than we know. Others can do better for us than we can do for ourselves, or than God can do for us. And I believe nutrition is one of the great keys to this. If they literally can crank up the sugar in your diet, crank up the fats that your body can't process, deal with processed foods to the point where your body cannot digest them properly, and then you get this situation where you're basically addicted because of the scourge of ultra-processed foods, ladies and gentlemen, then they can literally, it can lead to depression. It can lead to overeating. It can lead to, and when your body then is physically out of tune to where, you know what, it's a struggle to be even in your body, then hey, they can start to divorce you from all those things that I've just highlighted. God, family, country, agency, and all these things, because your body is in pain. You're in turmoil. You're not healthy enough to chase after the children and teach them right. You're not healthy enough. I mean, you can barely get your job done that you have to do in the day, and then you're just done. And then they add to that entertainment, bread and circus. And they literally have so many elements of this culture war that Americans aren't even focused on. And that's why I wanted to really dig into nutrition and dig into a discussion about the diets that Americans have these days, because I think it's really critical. And I think it's one of the ways they're divorcing us from the things that we ought to hold most dear. Doctor?
You know, there's a required reading book in my family. They're kind of hard to find. You can still get it. It's written by E. Merrill Root. E. Merrill Root, in my opinion, should have been the poet laureate of America. A poet, a very intellectual, well-thought, well-reasoned man. Maybe we can talk about Vapid when we get back from the break, because I think that that's where we're going with society, Vapid. Look it up, and we'll talk about vapid women and vapid eyes and what society has become. And the email wrote of that.
We'll do it all in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Department of Justice charged four Russian government employees Thursday for their part in two historical hacking campaigns targeting the global energy sector in 135 countries between 2012 and 2018. The cyber attacks came from Russia's Federal Security Service against the energy sector conglomerates, so says Deputy Attorney General Lisa O'Monico in a statement. She continues, Russia state-sponsored hackers pose a serious and persistent threat to critical infrastructure both in the United States and around the world. President Biden, after meeting with NATO allies Thursday, said if Russia were to use chemical weapons in Ukraine, it would trigger a response from NATO.
We would respond. We would respond if he uses it. The nature of the response would depend on the nature of the use.
The European Space Agency has confirmed that it's indefinitely suspending its ExoMars rover mission with Russia's space program. USA Radio News.
Have you or someone you know used heartburn medications Zantac or ranitidine and been diagnosed with cancer? Zantac and ranitidine have been positively linked to cancer. According to the FDA, Zantac and ranitidine contain NDMA, a known cancer-causing agent. NDMA has been positively linked to cancers of the bladder, pancreas, esophagus, liver, and stomach. Even in single doses and in smaller doses over time, NDMA is one of the strongest proven cancer-causing agents. Call 888-960-1233 or go to ZantacMoney.com. You may be entitled to substantial compensation without going to court if you or a loved one have taken these products in the past 10 years and been diagnosed with cancer. Call now to see if you qualify for free. Call 888-960-1233 or visit ZantacMoney.com to get what may be owed to you. You may be entitled to a cash reward. Find out now at ZantacMoney.com or call 888-960-1233 to see if you qualify for free.
One lawmaker says free money is the answer to high gas prices.
Democratic Congressman from Connecticut John Larson is proposing a bill that would provide stimulus payments to Americans to offset soaring energy costs. Larson's bill would provide $100 a month per person for tax filers and dependents. It would be issued the same way as the 2020 and 2021 stimulus checks. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
President Trump's people filed a lawsuit Thursday against Hillary Clinton and several Democrats, alleging they tried to rig the 2016 election by tying his campaign to Russia. The lawsuit covers a long list of grievances in a 108-page lawsuit filed in federal court in Florida. A special counsel investigation has documented Hillary Clinton's campaign did create Russiagate. NASCAR racing is in Austin, Texas this weekend. Thanks for listening, and a TGIF to you, my friend. USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley educating us all about E. Merrill Root and the book called America's Steadfast Dream. E. Merrill Root was an incredible historian, an incredible think tank in and of himself, born in Maryland, an anti-communist, stood for the sacred cause of liberty, and boy, this poet has prose. This gentleman has guidance on really how to live our lives with agency, with freedom in mind, Doctor.
Well, indeed he did, and he was such a wordsmith, and his words were poetic, even in just text of chapters. I mean, it didn't have to be officially poetry, but he talks about, for example, I mentioned the word vapid before the break, and he talked about vapid women, you know, and it's really interesting that that seems to be who we're choosing as our heroes nowadays, you know. I mean, vapid has something to do with offering nothing that is stimulating or challenging. It's insipid. It's uninspired. It's colorless. It's drab. It's flat. It's dead. And you can look in people's eyes and find that how they've become vapid in many instances today by trying to resolutely follow some of these individuals that are put forward as heroes to us. And you can see a lot of an example of vapid women, for example, would be you look at some of these magazines at the checkout stand in grocery stores. They're staring back at you with dead eyes from the covers. And that's supposed to be the cosmo. Oh, I shouldn't say that. It's a way of being kind of cosmopolitan in your demeanor. And the people that, you know, I call them the Botox queens that we find around today. Depth and breadth and character seem to be lacking. There seems to be a lack of life and enthusiasm and passion about things that really matter. We put the businesswoman in her flaccid suit out there as some kind of a ideal, and yet someone that is fulfilling a divine role in the way they cherish the things that God has really given us in depth and breadth and family and everything. It's so interesting. Anyway, that Emeril Root book, it's not necessarily nutritional other than intellectual nutrition, I guess you could say. And he wrote many other books also. But in it really, truly, in the 90s, it was hard to find. And I made a kind of a, I don't know, it wasn't a life's work to go check it out, but I looked often in libraries to see if I'd find them, and they'd say, "Oh yeah, we got rid of Root's books. They literally deep sixed them, threw them out." And there is a little bit of a resurgence in some circles with Emeril Root stuff, but they were, as you pointed out, he was anti-communist. Oh, that wasn't a popular thing to be, but he had an Americanist philosophy on everything, and it was really quite refreshing in comparison to what the rest of the world is. And I think we have become vapid in our spirits. We've become vapid in our marriages. We've become vapid in our nutrition. We've become vapid in our entertainment. I mean, vapid in our politics. And the nation is just worse off by not having, you know, kind of a lively intellect and consideration. And I do believe some of it is nutritionally sound, nutritionally founded in why we have those problems. But a lot of it is a spiritual dereliction, where we have become derelicts in terms of our looking to the eternal source of things, and an exchange of ideas and concepts of a higher order. It just doesn't happen so often. Painting your fingernails.
I think you're right, Doctor.
Important.
And just so people understand the term vapid, many may not even know what the word means, but vapid is basically void of substance, void of things that matter. So a vapid conversationalist is somebody who just you can't really have a conversation with because they don't have any culture. They don't have any experiences. They're just vapid. They're void of things that matter, void of principle. You can't discuss moral issues with politicians that are vapid because they're void of morality. They're void of, so the absence of, the void of, if you will, is to be vapid. And we bring this up because we want you to understand. When we talk about vapid women, we're talking about women who don't understand their role before God, who don't understand their role in society, who don't understand their God-given talents. Neither do men. Agreed.
Right.
But this is what we mean when we say this, though. Look, men need to understand their role as fathers. They need to understand their role as defenders of liberty. They need to understand their role as husbands, defending their wives. And they need to lead and teach and instruct and advise and counsel and serve and do all these things. But you can only do that if you have a great understanding of your history, of your heritage, of your godly heritage as a son of our Father in heaven. And so when you have fathers that are vapid, when you have mothers that are vapid, and you have, you know, girls and boys that, okay, they don't have a great understanding of their duty, of their opportunities, of their blessings in relation to God, family, or country, then you get this incredible void, this incredible nothingness, this vapid reality that seems to permeate our society. And my goal isn't only to talk about nutrition. That's one, in my opinion, key factor that's very, very damning or damaging, which is both true, damning and damaging to us as a society. But it's not only nutrition. It's this vapidness that Bread and Circus brings about, Doctor.
Well, what happened in ancient Rome is being replayed today. And, you know, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. I mean, there's so much that we could learn if people would go back and restudy that great work. And we have fallen into the same trap. And it's, I find Satan is really quite vapid in so many ways. He's not creative. He's not vigorous in his thought process. He just has, over time, observed what works to put people in kind of a destructive mode. And he plays them over and over and over and over and over again. And we as people are too foolish to recognize what's happening and break the cycle. And so we get in these death cycles that seem to have to be replayed over and over again. And you talk about the bread and circuses, but we can bring them right into our living room now. You can play it on the big screen, or you can play it on your little screen in your hand, whatever it is. But there's an insipid way of living life. And I think about intellectually, if we go to universities, which the thought was, oh, these are going to be, you know, higher learning, an opportunity to be able to expand and, discover new truths and so on. But basically today they become a political correct thing. And someday I think there's people who are going to say, oh, you graduated from Harvard or Yale? I'm sorry. Because they have become so completely compartmentalized with their critical race theory and their, oh, you're white, shut up, you can't say anything about it. This idea
you end up
that,
with
oh,
vapid universities, doctor.
Truly you do. And these discussions with people, I mean, I think of the founding fathers sitting around the tavern or around the fireplace or something, discussing these great concepts of liberty. And nowadays, it's something like, well, you know, you can't say he's not a woman. It's like, huh? Where does this come from? I mean, these completely inane concepts. These confused people that can't decide, you know, their sexuality, and that can't be a central theme in terms of how, you know, you act all the day and every day, but they can get to the so confusing that you get these people that are sexually so messed up they can't even function in society. And you say, holy cow, how did all this descend on us in the last few years? And it really is by design. I'm very concerned about that. But let's just go back to E. Merrill Root again. Maybe there's some other things you want to talk about. But let me just say, in that book we mentioned, and again, there's several he's written, and you need to probably review them, but that one that's required reading in my family, America's Steadfast Dream, you look, and he gives advice and counsel to a young man that might be looking for a wife, or for a woman that might be looking for a husband. What kind of characteristics are you interested in? Why should you be interested in them? Where would you find some of these things? If you're looking for a spouse in the wrong places, if your wife picker is wrong, why? And a lot of it is socially been brought about by the way we have our academic world, our entertainment world, and by court case and everything else. But E. Merrill Root goes to the root of some of these things, and they're just very thought-provoking essays about these things.
We're going to talk, when we come back, we're going to talk about it a little bit more with Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to gain advantage in the culture war. And the only way to do that I know of effectively, ladies and gentlemen, is turn to God, family, and country. Turn to those who can educate us on what it means to jettison the vapid reality that we face today and replace it with rich, godly
heritage. The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
As
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Dr. Scott Bradley riding shotgun on the broadcast today. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, his collegiate series to preserve the nation. Incredible webinars and more weekly at FreedomsRisingSun.com. We're talking about this interesting word called vapid. Void of things that matter. Void of nothingness. A blandness, if you will. Vapid food would be food without flavor or taste. Vapid women and vapid men are people without morals, without understanding of who they are, without a rich God, family, and country heritage that they should cling to for stability and safety. Those void of things that matter most. Those a vapid personality, somebody who doesn't have a personality. Well, this E. Merrill Root author just nails this thing in such a way that's just riveting, ladies and gentlemen, in several books. But as we ended the last segment, we were on this topic with Dr. Bradley of, you know, hey, when you're trying to find a wife as a man, you know what? You've got to have that part of your life together. You've got to have real goals, real priorities, a real understanding of, you know what? What do you want in a woman? And the first thing that comes to mind for me when it comes to a mother and a wife to be in my life is, hey, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so you want to look for a woman who understands who she is, a daughter of God, a woman who understands her role as a wife, her role as a mother, her role as a society builder, understanding her role generationally and more, doctor.
You know, since we're talking, and again, I've maybe taken you far off track, but we have a heritage that if people will take the time to review some of the deep thinkers of the past, we can avoid the challenges of the future. And since we've got an author, E. Merrill Root, one of the contemporaries with him was a woman by the name of Taylor Caldwell. And she was she wrote a lot of fiction that was kind of based on what reality was and wove the fictional content in but made points with it. So she's someone else that I think our family has enjoyed reading. But let me just use a quotation that's often mistakenly attributed to Roman statesman Cicero, but she wrote this in A Pillar of Iron back in 1965. And I think this is where our nation is right now. We are rotting out from the core. We are being traded for a mess of pottage at our very highest levels, and people don't even realize it. But this is what she said. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known, and he carries his banners openly against the city. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of the government itself. For the traitor appears to be no traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims. He wears their faces and their garments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared. The traitor is the carrier of the plague. Now, to me, that is so much of the essence of what we've been talking about. We started off on a nutritional thing, but that has been done by design, as you so wisely point out. We talk about the entertainment world. We talk about the political world. We talk about the educational world. These kinds of things have been rotted, are rotting the soul of the nation, and it's been by design, I fear, and we have allowed a lesser to be over us. And I look at the office of president. That's generally become the office of a lesser. A senator, a congressman, you look at, I mean, the people that hold office are generally lessers. They're pleasers. They're glad-handers. And what we need is some fire in the belly among families, among just individuals. We need to restore, you know, the vigor and strength of the nation and stop following these vapid people that are rotting our souls from the inside out. And I just find it tragic that most people have not taken the time to consider these things because we allow ourselves to be distracted by the things that are of lesser value constantly. And if we could just elevate our thoughts and ultimately and finally, we do have to go to God. And you mentioned earlier this, the way we've tossed God out of our schools. And again, I remember we had prayer every morning in school. And we started our day recognizing the source of all knowledge. And once we kicked God out of school, well, if he's not welcome there anymore, maybe our intellectual learning becomes somewhat of a suffering. And that's just what we're doing. And it's tragic. If Americans could just say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. And you look at the intellectual incompetence at the very highest level of our, I mean, look at Joe and Kamala and Nancy and Schumer. And I mean, holy Hannah. And just because they all happen to be Democrats doesn't mean they have a lock on foolishness. I mean, I look at Governor Little, for example, the state to the north of us that just signed an anti-abortion bill. And it was kind of, he was trying to figure out a way to chop the legs out from underneath it as he was signing it, saying, oh, I'm pro-life, but golly, there's going to be all these problems. And what he did is he gave everybody that was against it an opportunity to say, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to try this in the courts. We just seem to be an on the one hand and on the other kind of thing. And we get, you can't ride two horses with one butt. Get on it and ride it. And that's just kind of what Americans have got to do again. We can't be trying to be the academic all the time that has couched their words in such a manner that you can, or the politician, you can interpret them any way you want because they don't want to have anybody nail them down. I think when my undergraduate work I focused on political science in my bachelor's degree. And one of the classes, I think I've mentioned it on your program before, had to do with political speech. And it's really a science of being able to say a whole bunch of words and say nothing that everybody can spin in the way they want. Change you can believe in. Think of that Obama motto. Well, your change and their change and my change, they're all something different, but everybody interprets it. Yeah, he's my man.
The quote from Donald Trump, make America great again, fills this void big time.
It does. It's political speech. It's vapid speech. It's without life and vigor. There's no strength. There's no passion. There's no character in what we seem to be standing for. And our politicians, their primary, I don't know what you'd call it, their prime directive is to get elected again. You know, and it's like, no. Stick your neck out a little bit. Take some risk. Let's restore the foundation. But as in Taylor Caldwell's statement, this sly whispering, that rustles through all the alleys. That's what all we hear anymore, and we're losing it. We really are. And again, the foundation that we were built on to begin with as a nation was a godly foundation that hearkened back to the principles of a successful society that God had outlined in the Holy Scriptures. And we've abandoned all of that. I mean, I know everybody hasn't. There's good people out there that haven't, and I love the people of this nation. We've talked about how I left home when I was 16 and traveled this country, and as a teenager saw the land from Florida to Alaska and from New York to California, and I fell in love with the land, I fell in love with the people. But so often now we are led by lessers, and the good people are scratching their heads saying, what happened? What happened? And I long for the days that people can say, ah, I can see what happened. I can see where the leadership has been at the basis of these failures. You know,
are indeed educating to and speaking truth on these issues, ladies and gentlemen. And really, we need to understand the takeaway in this culture war, whether it be nutrition, whether it be a vapid complacency that seems to be affecting our nation so negatively, whether it be the culture war and the battle therein. Look, ladies and gentlemen, religion and morality are the two great indispensable supports to society and to families.
Yeah, Washington said they're the pillars of it. It's amazing. Religion and morality.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to jettison the vapid reality that we face these days, and you want to replace it with vigor and life and prosperity and stability and hope and honor and faith and integrity, I mean, I could go on and on with descriptive words to articulate, but look, you're not going to do it without these two pillars, without these two fundamental indispensable supports to really America's good. Or America's great because America's good. This idea comes from this. We've got to turn to God. We've got to bring back morality and religion. And I know a lot of people in modern days are just, they love to say this. Well, Sam, I'm not really religious as you are. I'm not really religious. I'm a spiritual guy, but I'm not a religious guy. Look, we can use semantics to become vapid in reality and pretend that we've got some spirituality without religion. But the truth is they're inseparable. The truth is spirituality and religious involvement and care are literally in. You can't divorce the two. You can't pretend they're separate. The fact is you either understand moral principles and you turn to a greater being than government, or you're in trouble. And these fundamental realities we must face if we're going to ever win the culture war. Final word's yours, Doctor.
Well, you know, you can't go wrong with Washington's thoughts. His inaugural address, first one, he talked about how it would be based upon public and private virtue. And he talked in his farewell address about those two pillars, religion and morality, upon which we can build our basis. These were the foundational concepts that upheld Americanism. And we've strayed far, and Americans need to return to and restore those kinds of things. And we can tie our fundamental founding documents back to all of these things, and we can do it in such manner that I think it's unassailable, unless you just want to be plain stupid and deny everything in your life that's of any value.
Or unless you follow the wrong leader and you don't believe in agency and freedom and life and stability, and safety, and prosperity, and morality, and religion, and all the things that save. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in the Savior Jesus Christ, testify he lives, and that his atonement is real, and he invites us all to turn to him. And but by him is life, but by him do we return to our God. Let's never forget God, family, and country. For Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, freedomsrisingsun.com, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, God save the Republic!